praise, Lord. You are awesome, Lord. You are awesome in this place, Lord God. Jesus, thank you for your presence in this place. Holy Spirit, we welcome you, Lord. We just exalt you, Lord, over this place, Lord, over every person here, Lord. Thank you for your presence, Lord, your presence that changes hearts, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for you and what you've done on the cross for us, Jesus. I just want to pray again. Our Father, Lord, we just want to commit this time to you, Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the word and that you've spoken and confirmed this word through many people to me this morning, that I know this is a word from you, Lord God, that you, Lord, are a father and that you are very serious about your children, Lord. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that we can just pray for your Spirit, Lord, to come and unveil our hearts, Lord. Holy Spirit, come and hover over us, Lord. Come and change us, Lord God, to be that what you have called us for, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your presence in this place, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I love to pray. I really believe God has a calling on the church to pray, and that God hasn't called intercessors to pray. I really believe God has called the church, because my house will be called the house of prayer. I also believe that we are in a war, and that, I don't know, who of you had terrible dreams last night? Just look at the hands around you, if be honest, or in this week. We are in a war, and people need to wake up to the fact that there is a war, and we must start praying. And we must pray for people, for our friends, for our families, for our church, because people are getting divorced. They sit here amongst us, they're getting divorced, and we're not praying. And I believe God is really calling us up to start praying, because in that place of prayer, it's where God's presence is. That's where God brings us together, where He unites us. And we pray Friday mornings at 5:30, because we want people to have a sacrifice to come and pray. But it also helps, it gives everyone the opportunity to come and pray. But, you know, for a while, I've seen there's one or two older people and 20-year-old girls that come and pray. And I'm thinking, oh God, we go to war with girls. Not even women. We go to war with little girls. And it grieves me. And then one day I prayed and I said, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that you'll raise up the daughters, Lord, to sing the songs of the Lord. Saul killed thousands, but David killed 10,000, Lord. And then the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, the girls can't be inspired to sing the songs if the Davids don't stand up. And I thought, oh God, what do we need to do for the men to stand up, to come and pray, to come to war? Because the world is going down south very quickly. And people in our church are going down south. And then we were praying, and the one morning God came and He just said to me, pray for the fathers, because the hearts of the fathers must turn to the children. And then we called, there was two older men, and we called them forward and we laid hands on them, and something in the spirit changed. I really believe it did. And this is where my sermon comes from, that Father God, the world needs a father, because in Malachi 4 verse 5 says, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Now, this curse is already here. The earth has been struck with a curse already. And I just want to share some stats that I found on the internet, on various places, many ministries that focus on this. And the one thing is that our identity as a person comes from our parents. Just you have your surname, that's already the identity, but mainly the father. The father imparts identity in his children. And many people, names of people who were fatherless, who didn't have involved fathers, or they didn't have fathers at all. Maybe you know them, Jack the Ripper, Charles Manson, Lee Harvey Oswald. They say he killed John F. Kennedy, but we know he didn't. Adolf Hitler, Robert Mugabe's dad abandoned him when he was 10 years old. So many people who we consider evil in this world never had fathers. Most criminals in South Africa prisons lack a positive male model in their lives. There's psychologists studying the fatherless sons of violence say that the lack of control in kids without dads and their failure to complete the development stages like education is due to the weak family structures. Because the fathers aren't involved, the children fall. Many of those children end up in jail. That they say children from fatherless homes have a higher rate of violence or accidents that can happen or criminality because the dad influenced their self-esteem. Fatherlessness and street gang membership in South Africa goes hand to hand, goes together. The children, the boys without fathers go and join gangs because they need that affirmation because you are good. We will look after you. We will cover you. With us, you will be safe. So they join the gangs. It says that with the rise of the divorce rate and the decline of family nucleus in our countries, it's the boys that is deprived from their fathers that will have experience in emotionally, socially, cognitively, and with moral behavior. American stats, and it's probably worse in South Africa, but says that 63% of all youth suicides come from fatherless homes. 90% of homeless or runaway children are from fatherless homes. 85% of children who exhibit behavioral disorders come from fatherless homes. 80% of rapists motivated by anger comes from fatherless homes. 75% of all teenage patients in chemical abuse centers come from fatherless homes. 85% of all youths in prison come from fatherless homes. Then it says that daughters with single parents without a father involved are 53% more likely to marry as a teenager, 711% more likely to have children as teenagers, 164% more likely to have premarital birth, and 92% more likely to get divorced themselves. So, this is the curse. Children are going, I don't want to say to hell, but many children are really struggling because their fathers weren't involved. We watched on Bible school a documentary of James Dobson on pornography, and he had an interview with Charles Manson, with Ted Bundy, and Ted Bundy, he was convicted for murdering 28 women where he kidnapped them, raped them, and then killed them. And the youngest one, I think, was 13 or 14 years old. And Ted Bundy himself said, "I take full responsibility for the murder of these girls." But pornography, hardcore pornography, had a huge influence in me to commit these crimes. And he said he's been on death row at that time. This was 6 hours before they executed him. He said, and he became a Christian because a couple invested over 200 hours in his life to lead him to Christ. So he accepted Jesus. And then James Dobson still said, "Do you believe a man like that, Jesus could die for him on the cross?" Which, of course, that's what the Bible says. But Ted Bundy said in his 11 years, all the serial killers, all of them were involved in hardcore pornography. That hardcore pornography will lead to death. And most men has been influenced by this. This is breaking down society. It's breaking down the way we look at women. It breaks down the way we look at marriage. And I think this is part of the curse. This whole thing that comes in to destroy our families and our families' lives. And pornography is being used to lure children into child abuse. And this is why it's getting worse and worse and worse. There's terrible, and what Ted Bundy said as well, 30 years ago, the movies that they saw in the X-rated movie centers are not as bad as the movies that we're watching on cable TV now. This was 12 years ago before he got executed. So it's just getting worse and worse, and we're getting influenced by the violence, the horror, and the sex that we see on television. But I want to say to you this morning, there's good news. there's God the Father. God wants to restore the hearts of men and women. He wants to bring children, His children back to Him. He wants to restore them to become men and women of God. God really wants, He wants to reveal His Father's heart to people so they can see that God can do and change anything in this world. He can change us around. He wants to give us a future and a hope. He wants to turn who we are around. But there's something that I really believe God wants to show us, His Father's heart, that He loves us unconditionally. It's not the things that you do, but it's because of who God is. But He wants us to come into His presence. This is this word of the pearl of great price. The kingdom of God is a merchant that seeks to purchase pearls, but then he finds that one pearl of great price and he sells everything so that he can purchase this pearl of great price. I believe people's hearts will not change unless they meet Jesus, unless they see who Jesus is, because John 3:16, God so loved the world. God so loved the world that he gave his son for all of us here. And this morning in intercession, it was just so amazing how God started preaching the Father's about the fathers and the sons, and the offering came about the father and the son, and God did not give us a spirit of illegitimacy, but He's given us a spirit of adoption by whom we can call Him Abba Father. God is really wanting to stir this in our hearts to bring His children back to Him. Luke 12 verse 32 is just one of those verses that you probably haven't read, but it's just so amazing to see that little flock, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. That's God's heart. He wants to give us the kingdom. He wants to give us everything that there is. It's ours because we are His children. It's up for the taking. We need fathers to represent the Father. You know, many people cannot relate to God the Father because they've not known a father. Or they've known a father, but he wasn't involved in their lives. They've never known a good father to speak blessing over his children. And I think, you know, 1 Corinthians 4 verse 15 says, "For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel." To become a man, a boy, must see a man. This is where we as men must not bring the message, we must become the message. We must start demonstrating to the younger men what men are like, what godly men are like, who Jesus is. We must become that, to impart that into the lives of the younger men and women for them to come up. Because, you know, God has been speaking to me about illegitimacy, that I'm an orphan. And last week, when the previous time I preached, in the middle of my sermon, I just said something like, "If you don't put up your hand now, you're a hireling." But God was speaking to me because I had to put up my hand, because I knew what I was saying is none of us are there. We actually should have, all of us should have been putting up our hands in the altar call. I think it was at night, because there's something missing in our hearts that I believe God wants to change. So if I've offended anyone, I just want to apologize for that. It was just something that God spoke to me and it came into my heart, and it wasn't for that time to speak. I should have kept quiet. So if I offended anyone, I just want to apologize to you for that. But you know, the thing is that children with active fathers are blessed. There's a blessing on children with active fathers. Look at the stats. Teenage girls raised in a two-parent home with an involved father are significantly less likely to be sexually active than girls raised without fathers. Children with fathers who are involved are 40% less likely to repeat a grade, 70% less likely to drop out of school. It's more likely to get A's in school and more likely to enjoy school and engage in extracurricular activities. So there's a blessing on people who has a father that's involved in their lives. And, you know, the problem is that our world, we live in a society with illegitimate children, all of us, basically. We've all been influenced by this thing. And, you know, I read somewhere a man that said, I think it was 50 years, probably longer than that, only the orphans and the sailors would put on tattoos on them. Today, everyone puts it on because it manifests. The illegitimacy manifests in people's lives. And, you know, it's interesting. I can look at a person's tattoos and see what demons he's fighting. because it manifests on their tattoos. It's just so amazing to see, I can just ask people what tattoos they have before I pray for them. A hireling and an illegitimate child is the same thing. And, as I said, I realized that there's something in me that, and this is a place where you completely trust and surrender in God. That is a son. Where God is your only source, completely your only source. Because a hireling doesn't care for the sheep. He cares for himself. He runs away because he cares for himself. But the son cares for the flock. He sacrifices his life for the flock. But the hireling says, no, what's in it for me? A hireling will say, he will tend to his own things. A son will carry the father's heart. A hireling shares only what you want to know. A son shares inner conversations. A hireling is independent or self-focused. A son has a generational vision. A hireling is not open to correction, but a son embraces correction in love. In Hebrews 12:6 says, "For the Lord disciplines the ones he loved, and he chastises every son whom he receives." How many people don't walk away when you say, "Look, what you're doing is wrong"? They say, "Who are you to speak into my life?" That's a hireling mentality. A son say, "Why do you say that?" Because I want to change what I am. Because I want to become more like my father is. Then it says, "It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline," this is very important, "if you are left without discipline in which you all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons." So I really want to encourage you to be open to correction. When people bring correction in your life, be open, say yes. Become more vulnerable to God. Don't allow your hearts to be hardened to who God is. Allow God to remove the orphan spirit that is in you. I just share this John 10 verse 13, the hireling, but go and read John 10 from verse 11 to about 16. The hireling flees because he's a hireling and does not care about the sheep. And then Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and I am known by my own." And he says, "I will lay down my life for the sheep because I care for them." And that's what Jesus did on the cross. He laid down his life because we are his sheep and he cared for us. Now, because someone said to me, "But you are not a hireling. You are not an orphan. Why are you saying this?" And he was right, because I'm not. None of us are, because the word of God says so. The word of God says in Galatians 3, "For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith." All of us are sons of God through faith. That's what the word says. All of us have been called as sons of God. And, part of my journey, this lady came to me, actually this couple in our church, or elders from Stellenbosch, asked me if there's an older couple that I can, that we can send this young woman to, because, well, she's not that young anymore. She's not in her 20s, she's in her 30s, because she needs just this fatherly input. And I was thinking, because I really couldn't find anyone that wasn't very involved that we could hook her up. And I spoke to her and I said to her, and she said, "I'm fine. I know where I am. I know that I'm a son in my heart, but there's still something in my mind, but there's still something missing in my heart. I'm praying about this." And we had such a great conversation, because I realized both of us are exactly the same place. Both of us need someone to impart in our lives, because we maybe might not have had it in our past. And we just both realized that we're going to pray about this, because there's not a father or a mother that's been spoken into our lives. And the father and mothers who are there are very withdrawn. They're very focused on themselves. And this is why I just knew that I really needed, we trust God to change our hearts, because many people know in their mind, they read it in the word, but something is missing in their heart. Then I just want to continue. "For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many as you were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female." This is why we say sons. The ladies are also sons. There's not male or female before God. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abram's offspring, heirs according to the promise. So the promise of God that you'll inherit everything. I mean that the heir, as long as he's a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything, but he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. So for all of us, there's a time, appointed time, that God will come and release you. So if you're a girl, you're a son, and your younger sister gets married before you, you're going to be blessed by it. You're going to say, God bless you. Thank you so much. I'm so glad you found the husband. And even if you like 30 already, you're not going to be upset, because you know that God, until the day that the father said, God will bring those promises to being in my own specific life. So there's something that a son and a hireling is different, that we don't get jealous if the one has something and the other one doesn't have that. That is what a son is. A son stands on and trust that God's heart is good towards him as well. In the same way, we also, when we are children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And this is where that scripture of the offering comes through as well. And because you are sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. So we're all called sons, all of us. But you know, it's interesting. You can have a parent. You can be legally a son or a daughter, live in a home, perfect love, and you choose not to receive the love or the parenting. You can be a rebel in your own house. You can sit there and say, this is not for me. I would rather go drinking with my friends instead of being a son in your house. So this is also a choice that we have to make. And I'm just saying, God is saying to us, root out this orphan spirit in you. Be planted. Come, surrender to the purposes of God, what God has in your heart. Because he says in Ephesians 1, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of this world. So God has chosen us right in the beginning, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoptions as sons through Christ Jesus, according to the purpose of his will. That's God's heart. His will is for us to be sons of God. Now, the good father produces sons. God the Father, but also we must produce sons. And in Luke 15, it talks about the prodigal son, but there was another brother, the offended brother, and God's heart is for both of them. You know, Luke, when the younger brother said, Father, give me my inheritance, he squandered it off. He went to the bars. He snorted it up in cocaine, coke, and he lost everything. And then he said, I will arise and go to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. And then he says, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. Treat me as an orphan. Treat me as a hireling. And this is the mentality that we have. Because of sin, we say to the Father, treat me as an orphan, because I'm not worthy, because I'm a sinner. But God, but the Father sees him. He sees his son coming, and he leaves everything, and he runs. And in those days, he shouldn't run, because the Father, it was not dignified for a father to run. He had to walk like this, but he didn't care. Because his son was coming back. He ran to him. He grabbed him. He had compassion. He cried to him. And the father said, Father, I've sinned against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. And his father didn't say that. He says, bring a robe. Bring a ring. Give him shoes. Restore him. Let's have a huge party. Because this is my son. He was lost and now he's found. And the robe is a new identity. That identity in Christ means that we are righteous before God, that all of us are righteous. We are the righteousness of God. The ring is authority. There's authority in Christ, that whatever we ask in his name, he will give us. When we pray, we can know, we can call these things in, because we have the same right standing before God. We have authority because of what happened on the cross. We have shoes. That means the gospel, the good news. It means peace, that we walk in peace, that where we go, there will be peace. We will release peace, but we will also bring the good news to people. God wants to release a destiny in all of us. and then the fatted calf is joy. Romans 14 verse 17 says, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That is God's heart, to bring us to righteousness, to bring us to peace and joy in Him. But then there's this other brother as well, the offended brother. And he says, look, he was angry at his father. He says he would not go in because his father was having this feast for his brother that squandered everything off. And he was offended. How can he do it for him? He never done it for me. And the father's heart is, therefore the father came out and pleaded with him. The father's heart is for the lost boy that comes back, and he's for the offended brother that comes, that he wants to return back. God's heart, the father's heart is for both. If you've been lost or you've been offended, his heart is he'll leave everything to go and fetch you, to bring you back. That is the heart of the father. God's heart is for the offended and for the lost. God is, Friday morning, God just spoke to us about offense, and it was just so amazing. We could just pray for one another and release and repent. I had to repent quite a few times. So I want to apologize if I've offended you. It's not my heart. My heart is really just to serve Jesus, but you know, we all will pick up offense. But the thing is, the Bible says clearly, beware for that one who gives offense. So when there is offense, come and talk. Come and talk. Get your heart cleansed. Repent. Open your heart that people can speak, that we can love one another, that you don't walk with offense in your heart. Because Proverbs 18 verse 19 says, a brother offended is harder to win than a strong city. And contentions are like the bars of a castle. Contentions means arguments or striving, that inward fighting. If you're offended, it says you're harder to win than a strong city. And I really believe God just wants to change something in our hearts. This weekend, or last weekend with Foundations 3, Pastor Morris, who's not here, he did Foundations 3 with us, and I was privileged to be his facilitator. And I've done about 20 of these things already. And many times I've heard people who've been Christians say, you know, I've dealt with that already. I've dealt with this. I've dealt with that. And he's been a pastor for 11 years. And every time he just said, brother, let's pray. Let's pray. God, forgive me, Lord. Many things that he has dealt with, he just prayed and he said, Lord, forgive me. He repented. And I believe that's why he can be in Nzamu and not be taken out. When the xenophobia was there, the police wouldn't go into the township, but he would come with his bucky and the police would let him through. He would go and fetch the Zimbabwean friends out of the townships, and he would drive them back out. And the guys throwing the rocks and say, hello pastor, hello pastor, hello pastor. And he goes in, he fetches the guys, and he comes back because of this. Because he repents and he forgives. I really believe that's why the devil doesn't have a foothold on his life. He's easy to forgive. He's easy to repent. And that's why, because I've known of people that get cancer in the townships when they go and serve there. It's a tough place to be there with the Shangomas and that. But his secret is forgiving and repentance. Matthew 5 verse 9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And I really believe this is what the sons of God should be doing. We must make peace. Be quick to repent. Be quick to forgive. If there's an offended brother, go and fetch that brother. Bring him back in. That's God's heart. God's heart is for all of us. And, you know, I've been going through a tough time where I was fighting offense big time in my heart. And Lynette and I went up the mountain, and I just walked away. And while we drove up with a bucket up on Howlerberg Mountain, and I just got lost for a moment. My wife was a bit upset with me because where am I? And she was screaming there in the mountain. But God spoke to me, and He gave me the scripture, and I want to share it with you. The first part is for the fathers, 1 Peter 5. So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as partakers in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. Not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfailing crown of glory. Then the instruction to the children is, verse 5, likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourself, all of you, with humility towards one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He might exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you. And then verse 8 is for all of us. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking who he might devour. Resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of sufferings are being experienced by the brotherhood throughout the world. And this means if there's offense, if there's sin, whatever comes, resist that, because the devil is bringing it against you to separate you from the body of Christ. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To Him the dominion forever and ever. Amen. There's this book, The Bait of Satan, from John Bevere, that he says offense is the bait of Satan. If you can read that book, it will really help you to resist that temptation to get offended, because in the last days, all people will get offended. All of us. We must deal with it. We must ask God to guard our hearts. I really believe that in this, I'm trusting God for the fathers and the mothers to stand up. The spiritual fathers. But the spiritual fathers, there's children here who do not have fathers. And some of them are 30, 35 years old. But they're crying out, I need help. I know the father, but I need help. And my call is to the fathers to stand up, because they're spiritual children who needs to be fathered. A son cannot be a son if there's not a father imparting in his life. So I'm calling on the fathers today, but I know it's not something that the fathers can do. Luke 1:17 says that he will go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. I just believe it's the Holy Spirit that can do it in your heart. But maybe one or two men, I trust just two men, would stand up and say, I'll make it count. I'll be a father. I'll be a spiritual father to whoever. I really believe the Holy Spirit will come and do a work in us, because Romans 8:19 says, for creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. The whole creation is waiting for the sons to stand up. But I believe the key is for the fathers to come and impart into the sons. We need the fathers. I mean, we need you to come and impart into the sons, the spiritual sons. I've adopted two sons. God has laid them on my heart. And the one is like my oldest son. He's got dark hair and he's very like this. Everything must be in order. And, you know, he's very like that. And the younger one is wild, and he's like my younger one as well. And it's just amazing how God actually just speaking to me through this, that, and I want to challenge the other men as well. Men, these children here who's never had a father pray the blessing, and even the fathers pray a blessing over your children, because these fathers, and the problem is the older men here hasn't been fathered as well. We are in a fatherless generation when there's not been a man to come and lay a hand on you and say, I'm well pleased with you. This is the problem that we have in society. Now we're sitting with men that is 50, 60, 70 years old, and they can't be a father because no one ever has done this. And this is why we need God's grace. We need the Spirit of God to change our hearts to the children, so that the children can stand up to the calling that God has given us. I want to show you a clip, but I've showed it before long ago, so some of you might have seen it, but it's a different song. But I want to ask you not to look at the sun. The sun represents the children. The children are disabled. We have a disabled children in this world because we don't have the fathers. And I want to look at the father. Look at what the father wouldn't do for the disabled son. While ushers hand out the communion, I just want you to have a look at this. At this piece, and then we're just going to take communion.
I know you've heard the stories, but they all sound too good to be true. about a place called home, but there doesn't seem to be one for you. So one more night you cry yourself to sleep and drift off to a distant dream where love takes you in. The beat of a heart when love takes you home and says you belong here. The loneliness ends and a new life begins when love takes you in. Somewhere while you're sleeping, someone else is dreaming too, counting down the days until they hold you close and say, I love you. And like the rain that falls into the sea, moment, what has been is lost in what will be when love takes you in. Everything changes. A miracle starts with the beat of a new life begins. place you will hold through.
Can we just pray? Just close your eyes, please. Our Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we pray, Lord, for the spirit of Elijah, Lord, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, Lord. Holy Spirit, just come, Lord. Just come and turn our hearts, Lord, to the children, Lord. Father, for the whole of creation is eagerly awaiting for the revealing of the sons of God, Lord. Father, this morning, I just want to pray, Lord God, and I want to say there will not be illegitimate children or orphans in this church anymore, Lord God. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you will root the spirit of illegitimacy, Lord, out of this church, Lord God, in Jesus' name. But Lord, we ask that you come and raise the fathers, Lord. Turn the hearts of the fathers, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Please just close your eyes, because I really believe we must do business with God in our hearts. And there's someone I want to ask you to respond. The Bible says that we will be called sons of God through faith, that we've all been called. But you realize now, I've never made a commitment to Jesus to be a son. And you want to respond to that. If there's anyone like that, I just want to indication with your hand. If you want to return to Jesus like the prodigal son, say, I want to surrender to Jesus. If there's anyone like that, want to respond to the call of God, I just want you to be bold, because God has called men into this world. Be bold. Don't be shy now. Just put your hand up if you need to respond to Jesus. If there's anyone like that, that want to respond to the call of God. Yes, Father, then I'm just going to be bold, Lord God. And if there's any fathers that know that God is saying to them, I want to turn your hearts to the children, I'm just going to ask them to be bold and to come forward, Lord. Then I just want to ask some of the children just to come and lay hands on the fathers. And just come and pray for the fathers. Our Father God, in Jesus' name, I want to thank you, Lord, for these men, Lord God. I ask you for two, Lord, but you gave me more than two, Lord God. And I thank you, Lord, for this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, thank you, Lord, for these men, Lord. Thank you for your spirit, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, to fall upon these men of God in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you for the spirit of Elijah, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that these men will prophesy, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, that they will stand, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that they will bring the prodigal sons, Lord, out of the dungeons, Lord, into the kingdom of God, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your anointing to rest upon them, Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you will bless them, Lord, that you will bless their marriages, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you will bless, Father, the business, Lord, where they work, Lord God, that you will be their provider, Lord. Father, thank you, Lord, that they will understand the goodness of God in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you that their barns will be filled, Lord. And Lord God, their vats will overflow with new wine in the name of Jesus, Lord. Father, thank you that they will understand that healing comes from God, Lord. And Lord, I release your spirit of healing, Lord, upon their lives, Lord. That when they lay hands on the sick, they will be healed in the name of Jesus, Lord. Father, I just speak a blessing over these men, Lord, that you will heal them, Lord God, that they will be a blessing to this world, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you for these men, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray just a blessing upon them, Lord God, that they will stand, Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, Father, just thank you for your anointing that rests upon this man, Lord God. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that he's full, that he's a man of God, Lord, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you for your love, Lord God. Father, I release a double portion of love, Lord, on these men, Lord. Men that will not, Father, cause their children to get frightened, Lord, but they cause their children to come to them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, thank you that you're saying to them, be bold and courageous. Do not fear nor be dismayed, because I will never leave you nor forsake you. Lord, thank you for their wives, Lord, that you have blessed them with wives. And some of them you are going to bless with wives, Lord. Father, thank you, Lord, that you will bring their children back to them, their natural children. But you'll bring spiritual children, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that the kingdom will come, Lord. The kingdom will come in the name of Jesus, Lord. Father, I speak, Lord, that the fathers will encourage the other fathers, Lord, to turn to the children, Lord. Father, I pray for a revival, Lord God, in Jesus' name, that you will turn the hearts, Lord, to the children, Lord, and that the children will stand up, Lord, as sons of God in the name of Jesus. Father, we bring offense before you, Lord God, and we ask that you will come and heal the offense in our hearts, Lord. Come and heal our hearts, Lord. Just come and heal our hearts, Lord, in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus.
People, I want you to look at me quickly. Everybody. Because I want to stand in front of you today as your spiritual father. Or your biological father. Not your spiritual father, your biological father. And I want to say that the day that you were born, I knew that I got a gift from God. I knew you were special. And I was so proud. But I'm sorry if I dropped you along the line. I'm sorry if I disappointed you. And I want to come this morning and ask, please forgive me as your biological father. If I weren't the father that you needed. I'm sorry if I verbally abused you. And I'm sorry if I sexually abused you. But I ask you this morning to forgive me. In the name of Jesus. I don't need your forgiveness. But if you can't forgive, then God can't forgive you. And therefore, I just want to challenge everybody this morning. Just give it over to God. This is not games anymore. Let's just close our eyes. Father, in the name of Jesus, we turn to you and we repent, Lord. We've all sinned and fall short of your glory. Father, but your word says that if we repent and turn away from our wicked ways, that you will restore us, that you will lift us. And Father, my prayer is this morning that each and every one of us will first and foremost forgive our biological fathers if we fell short of the glory of God. Lord, I pray this morning that you will restore relationships, that we will stand up and walk out here, phone a father and say, I'm sorry, I love you, Dad. Father, and that we will reach out to our children and say, we're there to protect you, to guide you, to lead you, so that this generation can give it to the next generation, our children can give it to their children. We ask for your forgiveness, Lord. We ask for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
I just want, if you have never had a father, or you know, you just want a father to bless you, to come forward and say for infinite worms, worm bit for me. If you need someone to pray with you, a father to pray with you, even if you're not 60 years old, I want you to come forward and hierdie worms gaan vir julle bid. If there's anyone like that, I know there's a few people, just be bold and come forward. God wants to restore you. Just come forward that God can restore you, can restore your heart. Don't stay in the pews and walk home if you're emotionally touched now, because a man needs to lay hands on you and to pray for you. Please be bold and just come forward. Don't resist this. Don't resist this. If come forward, let the men, let the fathers can bless you and tell you that you are a gift from God. If there's anyone here, just come forward. Just come forward and ask, say for hierdie oom dat hy vir jou bid. All the ones that need to pray, come, just come and stay in front that we can see who needs to pray. If you're crying, you know me, you must come forward. Just come forward, please. Just come forward that God can restore that work in you. If you are offended and you are dealing with offense, but you can't seem to forgive that person or people, please just come to me. I really need to pray for you. If you offended, The Bible says an offended person is harder to win than a strong city. There's something that God wants to change in you, because there's such a calling on your life, and God is just saying to you, come and deal with the offense. Let me deal with the offense in your heart. If there's anyone like that, that needs to resolve that.